John Johnson, the black media mogul who founded Ebony and Jet magazine, used to boast that his publications were more than just ink and paper. He said they represented a way of life. His magazine celebrated the strivers in the black community. They cast a spotlight on success and served as both cheerleader and defender of African Americans. Johnson paved the way for other magazines aimed at African Americans. Some of them have flourished, others have floundered, unable to draw enough readers or advertisers. Johnson's death yesterday of congestive heart failure not only raises questions about the future of Ebony and Jet, but about black media as a whole. How do they survive when mainstream publications now cover black celebrities and compete to hire black reporters and photographers? Roy Johnson has spent some time thinking about these matters. He's the assistant managing editor at Sports Illustrated, and he's the former editor of Savoy, a magazine aimed at the black middle class. And we should say there's no relation between Roy Johnson and John Johnson. Roy, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. How much of this magazine is tied specifically to John Johnson? Is it a magazine that really revolved around his orbit, or is it well positioned to continue to exist and to flourish without him?
In many ways, Ebony and Jet are no different than, say, a Cosmo or a Vanity Fair or Rolling Stone magazines that are a solid reflection of either a strong editor or a strong publisher. You know, that has worked for Ebony. It worked for Ebony for many years. It continues to be a magazine that is closely tied to his point of view. Its challenge will be to find a new voice that is distinctive, that is relevant, that is exciting, that is challenging. And if it does that, it will be poised for success.
Relevant. Do 20-something African-Americans buy Ebony?
20-something African-Americans have a lot of choices. They buy Vibe, they buy The Source. They probably are not buying Ebony to the extent that 20-somethings did generations ago. But that's okay in that you can't be all things to all people. What they have to figure out is how to create a brand. It may be Ebony. It may be something else. Maybe it's another product that company has to launch that will target younger readers. It's hard to have a publication that reaches 20-somethings and 50-somethings.
He always said that part of his mission is to cast a spotlight on the strivers and the successful, but there's this pointed debate about whether the publication should serve primarily as a cheerleader or whether it should have cast a more critical eye to point out some of the problems, some of the challenges in the black community. Where do you come down in that debate?
Well, I think every editor and publisher has to make his or her own mind up in terms of where you fall on that spectrum. I think Ebony has been very clear about its mission from the beginning, has not swayed from its mission, and the fact that it's still alive when many interlopers are not is a testament to the success of his particular mission.
In an article in the Chicago Defender, you describe a meeting that you had with John Johnson where he fussed at you at working for a mainstream media company.
While he was cordial and friendly, he made it very clear that he thought that young black journalists with talent should at least look at black publications more. Clearly an icon, I listened to him, but what I wanted to also say to him was that his success is one of the reasons that myself and generations of black journalists have been able to work at companies like Time Inc. that weren't hiring us generations ago, and not only could we work there, but we've been able to thrive, to challenge the status quo, and to reach heights that our predecessors would not have been able to even dream of.
Roy Johnson, thanks so much for talking to us.
Thanks for having me.
Roy Johnson is assistant managing editor at Sports Illustrated. He's also the former editor of Savoy magazine.